I'm not treating you to lunch anymore! You had to tell Julie that I made a special point of telling you that I bought you the big salad, didn't you? If it was a regular salad, I wouldn't have said anything. But you had to have that big salad!
You can't handle the truth! Because when you reached over and put your hand into a pile of goo, that was your best friend's face! You'll know what to do! Forget it, Marge! It's Chinatown!
Montucky Skies.
Hey, welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
And I'm Brandon.
So we're doing mini episode number two, but 221 for posterity's sake, of Montucky Skies, because we are moving it to Wednesday mornings from now on, because Adrian is rejoining us this week. Yay! So we figured we'd put out something for you. It was originally going to be an interview, but we had to push it back again. So we're just going to bullshit for 20 minutes and then we're out. So I have something to bullshit about right away. So I came across an original copy, like a letterbox edition of Empire Strikes Back.
The pre-Lucas'd versions?
Yeah, the original Lucas version before Lucas himself. So basically the transfer is as good as you would expect for that time. I mean, it's not cleaned up because obviously Lucas didn't spend any money on it. It's not an HD or anything.
It's not his property.
Right, but it looks like an early DVD would look. You know what I mean?
So better than VHS quality.
Yes. Yeah, it was definitely better than VHS, and it was letterboxed. But like when you watch a letterbox and VHS, everything was a little bit muddy. You know what I mean? Because they were compressing it to this little picture. And then, yeah, it just doesn't look so great. So I don't know how the hell they came across that, honestly. Like, I almost wonder if it... I've heard that they're... I can't confirm this for sure. I know there's one print that Lucas was never able to get. And like this one legendary theater was closing. And so they didn't tell anybody what they were playing. They just said they were going to play Star Wars. It was an original cut of Star Wars, you know, and they had saved the print. So I'm wondering if that's kind of the same thing as Empire Strikes Back. But it was literally as soon as they stopped playing it, they like mailed it back to the guys in Britain. And like, because George Lucas, if he got wind of it, they would shut it down immediately. Like they would go, they grab the print because technically they own the prints.
Yeah.
And it would just be gone forever, knowing George Lucas. So I'm wondering if it's something like that, like if somebody had a print and they just like copied it and was like, the internet needs this. I don't know.
World needs this.
Yeah, but it was pretty great. Like, I gotta say, because I've said on the show before, I always wondered if I was to watch, like, and this was before Disney bought them out, so it was when we were feeling pretty hopeless that we'd never see the original trilogy again. You know what I mean? But you know, I always wondered, like a Star Wars sort of ruined for me forever, because I just pictured, like, every time I was watching it, thinking of, like, because every time I did watch, I'm like, it's just like you see the CGI stuff that doesn't fit the rest of the screen. And you're like, what? And some of it's stupid
and pointless.
And it's
just added bloat.
Yeah. Yeah, and it adds a lot of minutes to it, too, honestly. I mean, it seemed like it's a good 10, 15 minutes longer.
Yeah, and it just, whenever I watch those, the scenes that were added just don't fit in the storyline. And they just add extra fluff.
Yeah, and it gets worse with every addition.
Yeah.
You know? But I wondered aloud, if I watched the original ones, would it even make a difference anymore? Because I'd be wondering about stuff that was like in the other thing. Now, I will admit, when I first watched Empire Strikes Back, the first 15 minutes, I was thinking along those lines, like specifically when the Yeti like goes to get Luke, I was like picturing the whole battle and stuff, like the final meal of the Yeti and all this stuff that they added in the CGI, and then I was able to forget it and just like watch a movie and lose myself in the movie. Dude, it's better. I'm sorry, I'm not saying that as like a film snob or anything. It's just better without all the CGI stuff. It really is, man. Like even the stop motion stuff that's in it, like when you watch it, it's clear they changed a lot of shit. Like a lot of mundane things, like even the uniforms that they wear when they're about to do the battle on Hoth, they just look like they're 70s. like early 80s kind of style.
Yeah.
Like it looks like an old school sci-fi movie, which like Star Wars hasn't looked that way forever since they've been doing the touch-ups. And I was able to just lose myself in it and just actually pay attention to the story again without this peripheral thinking about it. So nice, man. So nice. I feel like I got my Star Wars back. Like, I know that sounds weird, but if you're a fan, if you're a big fan, I think you kind of know what I'm talking about, you know?
So you're wild, and I just want to get your wild speculation on episode 7, A New Hope.
On what it's going to be about?
No, on how, just cinematography-wise, how it's going to feel.
From what I understand, they're doing practical effects wherever they can. Like, there's going to be some digital stuff, but for the most part, they're trying to stay as practical as they can. So I think it's going to be more like the original trilogy, but have, like,
so have a bunch of lens flares.
No, because Abrams, like, after the Into Darkness came out, I actually heard him in an interview talking about how somebody sent him a link to the supercut of his flares, and like he realized like what a joke it had become, and that it was pulling people out of the movies when he did the flares, and he hadn't realized how much he was doing it until he watched that supercut. So he said, "I'm not doing flares anymore." So maybe when you see like a establishing shot of Tatooine, because that's been a long-standing thing, you see like flares in the desert.
Yeah,
to kind of show you that it's hot. Like, I mean, that's been a thing since, fuck, at least the 60s, maybe earlier. Which I guess was a mistake, too, I heard. I don't remember the movie it was originally in, but apparently the director, like, accidentally had a flare when they were doing an establishing shot of the desert in this Western. And the producers looked at the daily, and they're like, yeah, there's a flare there, you can't use that take. And he's like, but doesn't it make it look hotter? Like, doesn't like those, you know, how it's kind of shiny and stuff, doesn't it remind you of looking up at the sun? And they were like, yeah, I guess it kind of does. So they left it in, and then that became a trope to itself.
Well, I mean, a lot of real classic movies had that. I think Lawrence of Arabia had that, and the scene where he's walking the camels across the desert.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that always has been a kind of a tradition.
Yeah. That's, by the way, like, one of my favorite soundtracks of a movie is Lawrence of Arabia. The music in that is just so good. Oh, my God. It just gives me a nerdgasm thinking about it. It's just, like, really good orchestral work, I think. So I also have the original copy of Star Wars that I haven't watched yet. So now that I've seen Empire Strikes Back, I think I'm going to give Star Wars a whirl. I'm going to check and see if I can find Jedi. So,
well, that's hopeful.
Yeah. It was really funny. My daughter wants to go to the new Star Wars movie, and she's seen some of the cartoons. She swears it's not Clone Wars, but I don't know what the hell it would be for her.
There's like Clone Wars, Rogue Wars. Yeah. I don't know any of it.
I don't know. So whatever one has a female Jedi. She likes the female Jedi, I guess. But I gotta say, like, so I was trying to get her to watch Star Wars, and she could not get into it. So I'm like, fuck, man. And I tried to get her to watch Jedi because she really liked it. She's a little kid. She chuckled at the beginning. And then so when she was watching it later, she's just like, this is boring, Daddy, like the whole time. So I was like, all right. So I was like, I was convincing her, like, we should watch Jedi. It's got these little bears that run around and stuff. Like, I was actually selling the Ewoks to try and get her to watch it. And, like, Amanda was like, and they're so cute. And so she was, like, kind of in to watch it. And so I go to look, and somehow my DVD copy of, like, Return of the Jedi just disappeared. And I'm like, motherfucker. And then I was like, well, I got Empire on the hard drive. Maybe I can sell her through, like, Yoda and stuff. And so it was sort of tough at first, like with the stuff in Hoth. And then she started to get really into it once we started seeing Chewbacca more. And then
the Dagobah?
Yeah, somewhat in Dagobah. Not as much as I thought she would. But then she was just like, wanted to play and was out, and I couldn't get her to sit. So I'm like, all right. And then she ran in to tell me something, and I'm like, hey, watch this scene, because I was like asking her earlier why she thought Darth Vader was looking for Luke. And like, so we watched that scene where he's on the little island kind of thing where he scoots down and he just lost an arm. And he's like, Luke, I am your father. And she was like, no, he's not. And he's like, that's not true. Like at the same time. And she was sucked in and she watched it all the way to the end. And then we were talking about Han Solo and she got Han Solo mixed up with Luke. And I'm like, no, this guy is Han Solo. So I went all the way back to the beginning of Cloud City. And then we watched it from that point all the way to the end of the movie. So she saw pretty much the entire movie, just slightly out of order. She Quentin Tarantino'd it. So I was pretty happy to get away with that.
One thing somebody clued me into that, well, I've always wanted to like recheck and watch, because after Han gets frozen and taken away,
yeah, on the carbonite.
Yep, the very last scene where Lando is now the pilot of the Millennium Falcon with Chewie, he's wearing Han's clothes.
I didn't notice that. I didn't notice that at all. I'll have to rewatch it. But that wouldn't make sense because he's frozen in carbonite in his clothes. You know what I mean?
But he's wearing the white shirt, black vest.
Yeah. Oh, you mean so is Lando? I don't know why. That's weird.
And I haven't seen it since somebody clued me in it, so I want to see, but
yeah, maybe I'll rewatch that again just to see. It's really funny how badly they treat Lando, like, at the end of the movie. It's understandable because he sold them out, but, man, they're just a dick to Lando from that point on. I'm guessing Jedi not so much, considering doesn't he become Captain Calrissian? Like, he blows up the second Death Star, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, way to go, Lando. Billy Dee Williams. One thing that bothered me, and I've thought about it before, but it really bothered me when I was watching it this time, like, Han's hands are behind his back. It's unclear whether he's cuffed or not. I don't think he's cuffed, but his hands are behind his back.
And then he's got him in front of him.
Yeah, then he's got the one hand up and the other one in front. Yeah, and it's like, that doesn't match what happened when you went into the carbonite at all. Now, there was enough time where maybe they could justify it if he's not cuffed, but still, I don't know. Like, he just decided to do this, like, before he was frozen. I kind of doubt it. I don't know. It was good to watch that movie again, though. It was. My wife sat down and watched it with us, too. Most of the way, anyway.
So, right now, I'm listening to Aaron and Kate's The Alien Movie Project.
Yeah, I got a little bit through that because I was at work.
And I'm right now listening to The Muppets from Space.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
I haven't actually seen that one.
Oh, it's great.
I assumed it was bad because they had that run of, like, straight-to-videos that weren't so good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know which ones are the gems and which ones are the stinkers.
It was, out of all the post Jim Henson.
I knew you were going to go there.
It's my favorite.
Is that even, like, The Muppets?
Yeah.
Wow. Because I'd say, like, I'd say that's probably my favorite one. I just really like that one.
It is a real fun movie.
Yeah.
I'd put it number two out of all of them.
Yeah. I'm going number one out of all of them, but that's okay. I haven't seen Muppets in Space, so that's what you're going number one? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just one I watched when the kids were real young, and because it was in the cheap bin at Walmart. Right. And I think my kids wore that DVD out.
Well, the Muppets are great.
And so I've been really entertained listening to that. So if you want a good listen to the Alien Movie Project.
You know, it's funny you said that too, because I can tie that in with The Empire Strikes Back again, because when we were watching it, I was like, hey, Saren, you hear Yoda? Like, hear how he talks? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, think of Miss Piggy. She's like, yeah, he kind of sounds like Miss Piggy. Frog! Found someone you have. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's Frank Oz. It's the same guy who does the voice. And she's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, he does a bunch of the Muppets. She was really into it when I told her that. She loves the Muppets. We are highly anticipating the Muppet Show coming back on ABC.
I am really looking forward to that.
Yeah. I haven't been watching any of the promotional stuff, but I can't wait for it to start. Because it'll be one of those ones that'll like hit Hulu. And we'll sit down as a family, I'm sure, and watch it. Like, there aren't very many shows we watch as a family. We watch, like that, like, all of us like to watch, you know? We do that for The Simpsons, which is, like, probably not the best idea, but fuck it, I do it anyway. And I just tell her when, you know, don't do that, you know, certain things. We all watch Last Man on Earth, which is like, I didn't know like how sex driven it was before I started watching it, but like she's so into that show and it seems to go over her head, so it's just like, ah, it works.
My kids kind of just tune that show out.
They don't like it.
They don't,
they're kind of neutral.
Yeah
Yeah, my kids, like, loved it. Like, River and Saran were so into that show.
We watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, I haven't really watched too many of those yet. I started to watch it, and then River just, like, I brought it up in front of River thinking she might like it. And then, so what happened was she just, like, ran with it and watched it every second. And so it was, like, I would go to try and figure out where I was at in the run, and I'd get lost because it would automatically start me halfway through season two, you know? And I'm like, yeah. I don't know where I'm at. So, but now that she's gone, I guess I don't have an excuse anymore. I should just start on it.
Yeah, there's not a lot that we watch as a family. There's that. We watch Parks and Rec. We're really deep into that. Yeah,
we watched all the Parks and Recs, too. Like, my daughter didn't really want to watch Parks and Rec, but when she was getting distracting, I'd be like, you see that guy with the mustache? That's Axe Cop. And then she'd be into it. And I'd be like, you recognize Star-Lord there, right? And she'd be like, oh, it's Star-Lord. So she was watching it for Star-Lord and Axe Cop. That's her driving motivation on that show. She knows all about cartoon voices. I never made a... Sometimes I want to smack parents who are just like, they try and keep it real for their kids. And by keep it real, I mean not keep it real, but like pretend like cartoons are real and their shows are real. And I'm like, I think that's when it's trouble for kids. Like, I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I feel like the kids who like get in a lot of trouble are the ones who take it seriously and then think they can do this crazy shit on the show. And I'm just like, no, it's just a TV show. It's just a cartoon. This is how it's made. Like, it's not real. You know it's not real, right? Like, I'd let them know all the time. Like, this is entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, I always had a firm grounding in that when I was a kid. Like, I never thought anything I watched was real. Although I did pull off some pretty real things as I described arachnophobia teaching me the lighter hairspray flamethrower. I did many, many times after I saw that movie. Did you pull any dangerous shit from movies like that?
No. I remember when we were younger, the big thing was they were having the lawsuits over the Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, over the
lighter. Did I just said the Beavis and Butthead?
You did.
Wow, I'm showing some age.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a specific episode, too. They were... It makes me laugh thinking about it, too. They go into a house, and they turn on the gas in the oven, and they open it up so that they can get high off of it. It's like, I'm not feeling anything. He's like, you need to light it, Beavis. And so they, like, light it and blow up the house. And that's where that whole thing started from. But, like, that thing got blown way out of proportion because I remember, like, it came out that, like, it was, like, a 6 and 8 year old kid, and they, like, left them alone in their trailer for, like, a couple hours while they went out shopping and stuff, and, like, all this stuff. Like, nothing ever came of it. Like, the lawyers tried to, like, latch onto that, and they sensationalized it and stuff. But in the end, they got their kids taken away from them from CPS because they weren't watching their fucking kids.
God.
The kids should never get the opportunity to light oven gas because, I mean, let's be honest. Like, you know, you should be watching them a little bit closer than that. You're really letting them get in lighters, having access to the oven, keeping them home alone.
At six?
Yeah, what are you doing, man? That's just ridiculous to me, but I'm just going to be judgmental of all these parents. I'm like Dr. Phil for Montucky's Cats. All right, well, did you have anything else you wanted to get out there before we close this mini episode?
I don't.
All right, so take it easy. Not safe for network. So when you get the actual script in your hands, how is it that you memorize everything?
I mean, there's like, you write the first letter of each word.
That's what Robert Downey Jr. does.
Sure, yeah. And that's great for Robert Downey Jr. But
For Robert Downey Jr.
That just gets me so confused.
RDJ.
So
RDJ.
We won't be seeing you in an Iron Man suit anytime soon.
Well, not on stage. In my off time, maybe. But I don't know what you're doing in my bedroom, so please leave.
That's debatable.
I think the way we argue matters. The more diverse populations we have to argue with, the better. The internet, it gives you a lot of zealotry, and a lot of that insane, you know, 9/11 was an inside job, or the moon landing never happened, or whatever. But, you know, if we could look at the flip side of that, too, you get a whole bunch of information that gets to fly around the world in a heartbeat, and all of a sudden everybody knows the same damn thing.
We had a good life.
Is talking about the Juggalo community on the podcast so publicly as we do,
yeah,
does that set us up as a target in the future, potentially?
It's as much of a threat as a dirty 400-pound topless woman like running at you from a couple hundred yards away can be. You know what I mean?
This is family over here.
Family.
Box office battle.
If you were to take the male lead of your film and put him into a romantic comedy, would I root for him?
I have to say, we have seen this romantic comedy. Liv Tyler is his daughter, and he saves the human race in Armageddon.
Is that a romantic comedy, though?
You know, you had me until you said Armageddon.
Shooting the show.
My parents always stocked up on ramen. They didn't really know how much I ate. And I would actually scrounge up change and go to the store and buy more ramen so it didn't look like I ate as much.
Eric.
That's what alcoholics do. My mom should have never taught me how to make it.
Yeah, you had a problem.
The Alien Movie Project.
The aliens crash a kid's birthday party, basically.
Which, again, I think supports the frat aliens notion. Oh god, where am I? Oh guys, hey, is there anything to drink at this party? You guys,
I'm gonna have some of this cake.
Hey,
if I cut this cake?
Can I open this? Are you gonna wear that hat?
I'm just gonna take some of this cake.
Montucky Skies. By the way, his character trait is he constantly pulls out stomach acid pills. What do you call it? Like Pepto-Bismol or something? And he just constantly chews the pills every time something comes wrong. He's like, just chewing the pain.
Can
pills.
I just say, I
washes
appreciate...
them down with a cup of coffee.
I appreciate the subtlety used by saying his character trait, because we know this is the type of movie where each character gets one trait.
Find all our podcasts on iTunes. Not safe for network.